Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
Well, Happy New Year, everybody. Wasn't it great last Sunday on Christmas Day to see this place ram-packed with people? It was great to see the house of God full to bursting on our Saviour's birthday celebrations. We had a great time. It was fantastic. We have some of the remnants of the Christmas. So who's taken their Christmas decorations down already? Anybody? Angus? Oh, wow, cool. Yeah, that's a job for today for our house. We did want to do it before we went away, but that would have meant doing it on Christmas Day night, which just seemed a bit crash, really. It's like, we'll wait till we get back. But I'm kind of ready to get my house back to normal now. I just want to vacuum under where the tree's been and stuff like that. It's like, but yeah, but Christmas, it's been a great time. It's been a great opportunity to get together at Christmas time. And now we move into the new year. Well done for being here on New Year's Day. Those of you that are here, fantastic to see you. Who stayed up to see the new year in? Wow, I feel like I'm the only one. I didn't see the new year in. I was in bed. But yeah, it still happened, even though I was asleep. So I'm sure that I can catch the fireworks on the recording or something. It's not quite the same, is it? But anyway, I wanted to encourage us this morning as we step into a new year. It's so easy to move into a new year, and as I was just praying then, to drop a few anchors in the previous year and let those anchors hold us back into something which God's actually saying move forward in, to allow ourselves to be held back. And, you know, the whole hello from the other side thing, those things shouting to us from 2016 into 2017, that the giants of 2016 are still trying to taunt us in the valley of 2017, and we don't want to be taunted by any giant. We want to throw every stone that we have. We're going to need one, just like David, but we want to see those giants come down. I want to see those giants come down in 2017, but we don't want to leave anything anchored in 2016. We want to move forward into everything that God has for us in the future of this year. And a lot of people talk about how 2016 has not been a very good year and all these things have happened and all this stuff's going on, but you know, with God, we still have the opportunity to step into the best day ever. And I love that, because that means to me that I'm not relying on my circumstance or my situation to cause it to be my best day ever. I'm relying on God to be the one that makes it my best day ever. And if I'm trusting in him and I'm relying in him, and likewise with the year, if I'm trusting in God that 2017 is going to be the best year I've ever had, then God's not going to let me down. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of what happens, my trust is in him. But I wanted to encourage us today from the exploits of Jonathan, King Saul's son, and his armor bearer. Such a great exploit in the Bible. Such a great encouraging story that we read, a historical account of what we read of what these guys did. And the reading that I've got for today, it's the army of King Saul's been locked in a standoff against the Philistines. And Jonathan, his son, the king's son, has become a bit aggravated with the inaction of his fellow warriors. So he decides to make a bold move, just giving us a bit of context here. And he enlists his armor bearer to join him on a two-man commando raid. Basically, you know, come on, let's go and do something. So I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel 14, verses 6 to 14. And this is just a great passage of scripture, a great passage of Old Testament scripture. This is Jonathan speaking. "Let's go across to the outpost of those pagans," Jonathan said to his armor bearer. "Perhaps the Lord..." It's not going to be on the screen this morning, I'm afraid. Sorry, I only just finalised things for this. So, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few." "Do what you think is best," the armor bearer replied. "I am with you completely, whatever you decide." "All right then," Jonathan told him. "We will cross over and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Stay where you are, or we will kill you,' then we will stop and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come on up and fight,' we will go up. That will be the Lord's sign that he will help us defeat them." When the Philistines saw them coming, they shouted, "Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes." Then the men from the outpost shouted to Jonathan, come on up here and we'll teach you a lesson. Come on, climb right behind me, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, for the Lord will help us defeat them. So they climbed up using both hands and feet, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed those who came behind them. They killed some 20 men in all, and their bodies were scattered over about half an acre. This is great, isn't it? It's like, you know what, let's have a go. Let's go and do this. Let's go and move forward. And his battle plan is potentially God-inspired. And it's a little bit ludicrous as well, isn't it? It's kind of like, man, how many of us in those shoes would be thinking, I'm quite happy where I am with everybody else. You know, let's just keep our mouths shut while there's nothing happening. But, you know, it's potentially God-inspired, a little ludicrous. And the two young men openly approach the enemy outpost. It's kind of like, when I read this, it always makes me think about once when we took the youth group paintballing. And one of the young guys, whose name I won't mention, he'd got into the last game, but he'd run out of paintballs. And you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to declare that I have no paintballs, so I can't play this game. But he decided to go in anyway. And he stripped off to his shorts and T-shirt, bright orange T-shirt, and had his gun and just walked out into the enemy outpost and just walked out into the front of them and just let the whole of the team shoot him. And it was like, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. Just like, he wasn't bothered. He was completely fearless. Just walked out and took a few paintballs for the rest of the team. But it just made me think that audacity of just saying, you know what, let's just go. But these two young guys, they set out and approached the enemy outpost. And if they get the go-ahead sign from God, then they're going to attack. If they get the go-ahead sign, it's like, okay, look, watch for the sign. And then we'll attack. But they've already approached the enemy lines anyway before this. It's like basically it's borderline a suicide mission, really. You know, it's that kind of like thing. I did think about calling this message the Suicide Squad, but figured that if people don't know who the Suicide Squad are, then it'd be a bit like misinterpreted and wouldn't quite get it. So I didn't call it that. It's borderline a suicide mission. But if God is with them, Jonathan figures, nothing can stop them. It's like, you know, if God's with us, it don't matter. It's that whole mentality of Joshua, the mentality of David, that whole thing of, God, if you're with me, I can do anything. God, are you with us? Yeah, I'm with you. Go and retrieve everything that's been taken. Okay, let's go do it. It's that mentality of, if God's with us, nothing can stop us. And in his motivational speech to his armor bearer, Jonathan seems to be speaking out of both sides of his mouth at one point, doesn't he? And I'm sure that we can all associate with where Jonathan would be. So, nothing can hinder the Lord, he says. Perhaps the Lord will act, or perhaps the Lord will be with us. One minute it's the Lord can do anything, and perhaps he'll be with us. How often do we sometimes fall into that category of Jonathan where we're like, yeah, God's going to do it. Oh, is God going to do it? Yeah, God's going to do it. Oh, perhaps he'll do it. Perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. Perhaps. Perhaps, 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 perhaps. It's kind of that different thing of like switching between the two. And at first glance, it can sometimes feel like a spiritual schizophrenia. It's kind of like, yeah, God's for me, or God's not for me. God's for me, perhaps he's for me. Have I heard properly? Haven't I heard properly? Is it right? Isn't it right? And this whole thing. But Jonathan, despite there being a perhaps, decides to go forward anyway. And that whole thing, you'd think, well, he's waiting for a sign from God, so it's okay. But what I love about the audacity of it is, he's actually waiting till the enemy have seen him to get the sign from the Lord. He's waiting to be spotted. It's not like while we're hiding, if we see them do this and they don't know we're here, God will do something. We'll know it's a sign from God. It's this, if they say to us this, then we know God's for us. They'd already exposed themselves to the enemy before they even knew whether it was the plan of God wholeheartedly. How crazy. How crazy. But brilliant and absolutely encouraging to see these men of God launch off and do something. But perhaps Jonathan isn't a schizophrenic in his spiritual life. In fact, I can say that he isn't a schizophrenic in his spiritual life. Perhaps true faith always feels this way. Perhaps true faith always feels that way. I don't know about you, but I've said this countless times before that for me, a lot of the time when I say I'm sure I've heard from God, it's usually an 80% I'm sure. I'm 80% sure I've heard from God, and that's good enough for me, because it's very rare that I can say I have 100%, I know for definite, this is what God said. And most people, if they're truly honest, would say, yes, I have faith in God, and I trust in God, and perhaps the Lord will help me. And perhaps that's what true faith feels this way. On one hand, we know that God is able to do anything. He can do all things. We know he can do anything. I was really encouraged over the gap between today and Christmas, and just looking at the Joshua's battle, where they're winning, so he doesn't want the day to end. So he asks God to make the day longer, and God makes the sun stand still. And I just love that. It's like, one, I love that Joshua's heart to actually ask God to do something so big. He's in the middle of a battle, and he doesn't think it through like most of us. We might think, oh, it'd be great if God made the sun stand still, but that probably won't happen, so I just won't ask. Whereas Joshua has the boldness to say, God, do this. And God makes the sun stand still. When you think about that, I read that over and over again, and I still can't register in my head. It's like God changed every single law to make that happen. The sun stood still. The day lasted longer than it should have. And he did that for Joshua and for Joshua's men so that they could complete what they'd set out to complete. How amazing is that? How amazing. We know that God is able to do anything. On the other hand, I think he's willing to do this specific thing? I think he might do it. Will he do this specific thing for me? I know God can, and I'm pretty sure he will, but I can't be completely sure. Does that sound familiar? I know he can. I know he will. I'm pretty sure he will, but I can't be completely sure he will. And I think that Joshua's faith, when God got the sun to stand still, it was just a God do it, and God did it. Here with Jonathan and his armor bearer, it's a God's going to do it. Perhaps he'll help us. But that's where audacious faith comes in. Audacious faith is something different. It's sometimes having that perhaps and having the faith to know that God is going to act. Audacity isn't the absence of uncertainty. Audacity is believing that God's promise is bigger than my perhaps. Because I have a lot of perhapses. Perhaps God will do this. Perhaps this will happen. Perhaps, perhaps, perhaps. But an audacious faith believes the promise of God is bigger than my perhaps. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 that the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I always like to think of faith camp for some reason. Imagine like shuffling down to the toilets with a torch or a lamp or whatever you've got. iPhone, torch probably for most people these days. And it's a floodlight to our feet. It's a lamp to our feet, but it's not a floodlight beaming into our destination. And have you noticed that when you have a lamp or a torch, it enables you to take one step in front of the other? If it's really dark and you have a lamp or you have a torch, you can't necessarily see too far. You can only see the next step. And sometimes if you try to shine the torch further down and you're not looking at where you're going, I've seen a few people fall over at faith camp in the dark or not in the dark. Or Steve fell over, didn't you? Bless you, mate. You're all right now, though. As we are walking, we sometimes lose the one foot in front of the other step of the lamp because we're trying to get too much of a floodlight to where we're going. And as we do that, as we take that step, one foot in front of the other, the lamp enables us to take the next step. The word of God enables us to take the next step and keep moving, keep going, keep stepping, one foot in front of the other. Again, a bit like faith camp when you're packing away. It's just one foot in front of the other. You're starting out on that morning thinking, is this stuff ever going to be packed away? Is this stuff ever going to fit back in my car and the trailer and all these other things that you have to take? And, you know, lo and behold, there's usually something that doesn't fit. And you're kind of like, how did I get all this stuff here? I haven't bought anything. I've actually used stuff, but yet I'm going home with more stuff. But you just start, like, you get started that morning And it's just one foot in front of the other. And eventually you get there, and the car's loaded, the trailer's loaded. There's all those nice dead grass patches everywhere. It's a nice sight to see once you've packed away. But it's that one foot in front of the other. So, back to Jonathan. Armed with the confidence that there's a decent chance and an interesting possibility that his impulse might be from God, his perhaps or my perhaps, he starts going forward and he investigates. He steps out with his armor bearer. He steps out and he goes. He takes that step. If we hear this, then we know God's going to fight for us. If we don't, we'll withdraw. And we'd all like to live in a world where God lets us do big things that require minimal risk. That we get to do the big things, but there's no, you know, it's just like it doesn't cost anything. There's no risk. There's no faith required. We just have to step out and see the big things happen. And we'd all, if we're honest, like to live in a world like that, where the voice of the Holy Spirit carries for miles and miles, piercing through static and fuzz and all the stuff that comes in, all the voices, all the jeers, all the things that come, and to be able to hear so clearly, to be able to hear with such clarity. But the fact is, though, audacious faith does not eliminate doubt and fear. It eclipses the power one decision at a time. It eclipses the power of them. It doesn't remove them. It doesn't get rid of them. We all have fears. We all have doubts. We all step into something where we think, is this, I'm just not sure about this. Is this right? We all step into a new year, possibly with fears and doubts. An audacious faith, uncompromising faith, doesn't eliminate those from our life, but it does eclipse them. And it eclipses the power of it. One decision at a time. Making that decision. One foot in front of the other. I'm making this decision. And every time we do that, we start to see our faith grow stronger. And we start to see those doubts and fears become smaller in our lives. And you know God's will by doing God's will. The more you do it, the more you know it. Does that make sense? The more we do it, the more we know it. The more we step into the will of God, the more we know the will of God. And sometimes we've got to take that step. Like Jonathan, where they already started climbing the cliffs to see what was going to happen next. And for us, sometimes we're waiting to see if we get something before we step in and act. And yes, we've got to be wise. We can't just launch off and do something for the sake of it and be, you know, there's a difference between stupidity and faith. Yep. Think, okay, well, I'm just going to go and do this then. Jonathan, here, with his armor bearer, what he was doing was very calculated. Yes, he was going to expose himself to the enemy, and yes, he was going to open himself up, whether it was the right thing or not. But he'd still put that thing in, hadn't he? If God says, if the guys say this, then we know God's for us, we're going to go forward. It'd have been a different story, I bet, if it had just launched in. God might have fought for them. We'll never know. It's just but if they just climbed the cliff and ran in, without waiting for that word. But that one foot in front of the other, one foot at a time, one step at a time, moving forward, stepping into a new year, not stepping into Christmas, but stepping into a new year with everything that God has empowered you with, the gift of audacious faith to step through and to step into everything that he's got. Jonathan and his armor bearer ended up saving the day in a spectacular way. The story goes on where eventually the enemy get confused and there's all this confusion. It's all kicking off and then it all just, you know, like God does, the whole thing happens and, you know, God saved Israel that day and they all get, you know, they get the victory, which is amazing. And their audacious faith tilted the fate of an entire nation. They started something. It was almost like this snowball effect that once they'd gone out, the whole thing just poof, and God went to work on their behalf. So maybe this year you need to act on your perhaps and see what God will do in your world in 2017 if you act on your perhaps. If you just take that little step, as Jonathan and his armor bearer did, we're going to step out, we'll start climbing. And if we hear this, we'll know God's for us. God's going to fight for us and we'll attack. If we hear this, we know it's not the right thing. We'll move back. But what are you waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for? in your life? What are you waiting for in 2017? What have you been waiting for in 2016? What are you waiting for to take that step to, like Jonathan, perhaps the Lord will help us, for nothing can hinder the Lord. He can win a battle, whether he has many warriors or only a few. And that's the same God that battles for you, who is battling for you, and who will continue to battle for you throughout this year, who will continue to battle for you every single day, whether there's many warriors or only a few. He is fighting for you. He is battling for you. He is moving forward for you. How amazing is that? That you get to march into 2017 knowing that the God of the universe is with you. Knowing that he's able to do anything. He's able to make the impossible possible in your life. He's able to make those promises come to pass. Because God's promise is bigger than the perhaps. But sometimes we just need to step out on that perhaps and be ready to see what God says next. I think sometimes we want to have it all together. We want to have the full plan together before we take one step, when really we need to take the step to see the rest of the will of God. Trust me, I know. I'm one of those people. I want to see the whole instruction manual before I start doing the thing. I want to know what's going to happen years and years down the line before I step into what I'm going to do today. And sometimes it just don't work like that. Sometimes we wouldn't even be able to cope. But we know that God is preparing us all the time. And sometimes that next step, one foot in front of the other. And for some people, that's just how life is. And some people are able to live life like that. I just go one foot in front of the other, and I'm content, and I'm full of faith, and I'm trusting God. Because as I live this way, I see God working all the time. And I don't necessarily see far into the future with a floodlight. I see the next step with a lamp of God. But those kinds of people are very encouraged when they look back and they see what all those little steps with the lamp, word of God as a lamp unto their feet, has achieved. As they look back and see, man, look what all these little steps I've achieved. Look how far I've come. I didn't realize. A bit like climbing a mountain. Sometimes anybody that's done mountain climbing, your head gets down and you're just one foot in front of the other. You think, if I keep doing this, I'm eventually going to get to the peak of this mountain. If I keep putting one foot in front of the other, I'm going to get there. Not like when we took the youth group and they were running up and able to just practically sprint up Snowdon. It's kind of like, more like me. You're losing your breath. You're thinking, this is it. I'm on a mountain. The Lord's going to take me. But when you get to that top and you look back and you see over the valleys and you think, man, that every one foot in front of the other has achieved me climbing to the top of this mountain. I didn't realize whilst I was doing it. I was out of breath. I thought I was going to keel over. But when I get to the peak and I can see, most of the time when I've got to the peak of a mountain, it's been really foggy, so I've not been able to see for miles. But I can imagine what it would be like, and I can see to some degree. Look how far I've come. It wasn't a big leap that got me up onto this mountain. It was many little steps. And as I look back and see what I've achieved as I've gone forward, I see a major achievement. And in our lives with God, when we do that, it's great to see some of those leaps sometimes, isn't it? Where we feel like we've been catapulted forward. And we look and think, man, what a move of God in my life. God's done such a work and he's catapulted me forward. But yet when we look back after those small steps, those having a perhaps, moving of faith, having audacious faith, perhaps this is what God's saying, having faith and all those little steps, when we look back and we see how far we've come, we see how amazing God is. And not only does it encourage us to see what God has done, it encourages us to see what God is going to do. God is going to work in your life this year. 2017, God is working in your life. When the strike of midnight happened, with its extra second and all, God was at work in your life. And will continue to be at work in your life through 2017. Be prepared to act. What are you waiting for? Be inspired by Jonathan and his armor bearer that just jumped out and just did it. Just did it. Went for it. Took a bit of a step. It was a calculated risk. They were still listening to God's voice, which we always need to do. but God is at work. Amen. I've been nice to you today. I know a lot of people stayed up to see the new year in, so I didn't want to bring a massive long message. But before I close, there's a few things I wanted to point out for the coming year, 2017, here at ECC. It's going to be a great year. And, you know, I declare that. Whether I, you know, we can always declare it, whether we feel it or whether we're not sure or not, we can declare it's going to be a great year. God is at work. Is at work in your life? Is at work in the nations? Is at work here at ECC? And first thing that you probably had your e-notices this morning anyway, but January from the 11th to the 31st of January, we've got our 21 days of prayer. What a way to see the new year in, eh? That is what we want. We want to see the new year, and it's great to shake off some of that apathy of the Christmas season and the new year season and just launch in and to see the new year in. And we're there the 11th to the 31st, so the back end leading up to the end of January. We'll be gathering here at 6 a.m. at 6 a.m. till 6:30 a.m. We've been very strict on the timing, 6 till 6:30, so people can get back to families and get back to work and or get to work or whatever. That first one I'll definitely have to get back because that's Elijah's fourth birthday, so I'll never be forgiven if I'm not back for that one. But but as we gather together and do that, and then the weekends, we're still working out when the times are going to be for Saturdays and Sundays on those particular meetings. But during the week, it will be 6 a.m. So come and join us for that, to gather together and pray each day and just, yeah, set your year up in an amazing way. And then in February, there's going to be a slight shift in the midweeks on a Tuesday. Three things, actually. So there we go. It's a new year. We get to throw some new things out there. So first one is that two of the weeks of each month, we're going to be using a Joyce Meyer Bible study of Ephesians. It's a six-week course, a six-session course, where we'll be able to come together. That'll be on the first and the third Tuesdays of each month. We'll come together and we're going to, that is videos of Joyce Meyer and then Bible studies and stuff to get together in the book of Ephesians, which is a great book, really good book. And then the second and last Tuesdays on the midweeks, the second Tuesday will be the midweek for ladies and the last will be the midweek for men. So there you go, guys and ladies, you get to gather on a Tuesday together. And they will just take a different format each month, whatever Faye is running with the ladies, whatever Steve's running with the guys. That's going to be, it could be social, could be Bible study, could be whatever God is saying. But, yeah, and as Andy Stanley said in the last session at Christmas, and if anywhere beyond that, I haven't got a clue what we're going to do. So I do really, but that's enough information for one New Year's Day anyway. So there we go. If there's five Tuesdays, I don't know, we might get you to do something. If there's five Tuesdays, we'll see, won't we? We'll see. Maybe have a curry or something, I don't know. Have a traditional Christmas dinner. Yeah, bless you guys. It's going to be a fantastic year. And I'm going to keep saying that, because it is. And a lot of the time, it's as good as we make it. We choose to see the blessing of God in our life. We choose to see the joy of God in our life. We choose to do a lot of the stuff. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to choose which path. But it's always the best path to go with God. So bless you guys. Be audacious. Step out. Be encouraged. And have a fantastic rest of New Year's Day. Whatever you're doing, whether you're seeing family, taking your Christmas tree decorations down, whatever it is you're doing, bless you guys. And we'll see you Tuesday. We have got a midweek on Tuesday, so stick around. There's some drinks available now if you need to shoot off, not a problem. I'm aware that people have other things planned today. So, yeah, bless you all and see you soon.